human beings of the world, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse. Through our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with John and Kenrick. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on scpod.net. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
Citizens of the Republic of Spoilerverse, welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Kenneth Regan. That is Mr. Horsley. And today,
should it be President Regan? Show,
I'm President Regan. No, that's too close to Reagan. I don't like it.
Right. How about Prime Minister Regan?
Yeah, Prime Minister Regan. No. But today on the show, well, it's Robert Slavinsky, and, well, however you want to. However you know him, he's either Colton Payne or Colton Byrd, because I don't know. No one's told me what his actual last name is.
One of the two.
It's one of the two. But they got a whole new thing for us here today, right, Johnny?
So yeah, Robert and Colton sat down. They recorded a whole episode talking about new console games, new consoles too. The PlayStation 5's new controller. Colton goes over Rockstar Games and an idea for a new Grand Theft Auto. And they came to us and they're like, hey, can you... Release this out to the citizens of the Spoilerverse and see if they want to hear this. And I said, yeah, of course they want to hear this. I want to hear this. And I want you all to hear this of them talking about new consoles and everything, because opinions are great. And
I like their opinions. Of course they want to hear this.
Of course.
We don't want to live in a vacuum. We want lots of difference of opinions.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what the world needs, you know? So here you go.
There you go. All right, well, let's take a listen.
What's going on, everyone? Robert here yet again for another installment of my random podcast, rants, whatever you want to call it. This is what this is. But this week it's a little bit different. The past few weeks I've been talking about a lot of DC-related content, Snyder Cut and the DCU and so on and so forth. This week, though, I kind of wanted to go in a different direction. I wanted to kind of go towards video games, something that we don't talk very much about in the Spoilerverse. And I kind of wanted to jump into that now. And what better way to do that than bringing on probably our most notable video game guy at the Spoilerverse, Colton Byrd. Say what's up, man. Wow! So Colton Byrd's going to sit here with me today. We're going to talk some video games. He does have a really interesting idea for Grand Theft Auto. So we're going to get into that here shortly. But let's just talk about video games as a whole right now, where we're at. The year's 2020. We're in the middle of a pandemic across the globe. But, you know, that gives us all the time in the world to sit down at the house and finally dive into some of these video games that we haven't gotten to play for a while. So real quick, Colton, what have you been diving into lately? That, you know, you want to tell people about?
Obviously, Grand Theft Autos. I finally went back and beat San Andreas. That was the only one I haven't beaten all these years. And I've been playing Borderlands. That's been fun. And I don't know. I have a huge backlog of stuff I've just been playing randomly.
Mm. Yeah, my kids have kind of pulled me in. I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and they play Fortnite, so they kind of pulled me in to playing Fortnite for the last few weeks here with them. And then my girlfriend's 5-year-old son, he's big into Minecraft, so I've been diving in and playing Minecraft with him. So, you know, it's kind of just one of these things. It's just I'm diving into video games, just not kind of like I want to. The last game that I played from start to finish that I really enjoyed was Star Wars Fallen Jedi Order. That game was fantastic, but there's so many other games I'd love to jump into right now. I just don't have the time to because, you know, children.
I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I have all the time in the world.
Yeah. But, I mean, right now, you know, like I said, we're in the middle of this pandemic, What do you think? I mean, what are you thinking is going to happen with this new generation of consoles coming up here? Because, you know, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, they're due to drop this coming holiday. But right now, I mean, could this pandemic push them past the holiday? Have you read or heard or seen anything about that?
I think it's a safe assumption that they're all going to get delayed. No one's allowed to be around each other for, what, at least till the end of April here, where we're from. So, I don't know. It's a safe assumption. It'll probably be delayed until spring, at the earliest spring.
I don't know. Personally, I think there was IGN has a podcast that's like dedicated to Microsoft Xbox stuff, and they had what's his name, the head of Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, on the other day, and you know, he was very coy. He played coy. He didn't say that they were going to be delayed or they won't be delayed. You know, so he's kind of like, look, we understand what's going on. You know, he kept saying they're in a good place. So I can see something. I could see something like the Xbox being released. We haven't heard much from Sony in regards to the PlayStation 5. However, just a day ago of recording this, the day before today of recording, they finally dropped their first image of what the PlayStation 5 is going to be, but it's not the PlayStation, it's just the controller.
God, it's disgusting.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, God, just give me a turd. Literally just shit in my hand, please.
You know,
play better with that.
You know, I've been a Microsoft supporter for years now. The PlayStation 4 I thought was a fantastic console. I'm not a big fan of the games that they've been putting on the system. There's a lot of things that probably the most famous game of last generation was on the PlayStation 4 called The Last of Us. And to me, that wasn't a video game. That's not a video game experience. So I don't really enjoy what Sony has been doing with their exclusives and their big games, but that was a hell of a system that they created for the PlayStation 4. Their controller, which was for the first time in three generations, was a completely different concept almost from what you had from the original PlayStation controller to DualShock to DualShock 2 to DualShock 3. You know, they've all been, you know, kind of going in this one direction, and then the DualShock 4 kind of changed everything. The little touchpad on it, they never really utilized properly in the PlayStation 4. So it's shocking to see that they're bringing it back for the PlayStation 5 because it just wasn't utilized.
Yeah, hopefully they actually have a reason to bring that back outside of wasting space on the controller.
Yeah, I mean, it's really pointless to have unless they have plans for it that they're actually going to follow through with. And it's not just the console. It has to be the developers of these games. They have to utilize it for something. And most developers don't want to use it. They don't care about it. It's not something that is useful for their games.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting, though, that they do have a built-in mic now for people that don't have headsets with the DualSense.
Wasn't that on the last one or no? I thought that was on DualShock 4. No,
I don't. They had a speaker on there for certain things. Like I remember Horizon Zero Dawn, you would press something, it would have a little speaker that would make a noise.
Okay, so it wasn't a microphone; it was a speaker.
Yeah,
so, I've been thinking that companies need to do that. You know, for that reason alone. Obviously, the quality is not going to be great, but it's kind of a neat idea. For those, you know, those people who are just starting out in video gaming, you know, I mean, you look at us adults, when we buy a console, we buy the headset, we'll buy everything that we need for it. But some of these people, they're buying these systems for their kids, and they don't always know what their kids need. So at least, you know, Christmas morning or their birthday, they can connect it up and be able to do everything that they can do with it. I think that's a brilliant idea. And again, Sony has a lot of good ideas with their console. Like I said, I love the PS4. But when you come to the controller, and now the controller for the PS5, it doesn't make much sense. You can tell that they're
trying too hard to push the envelope.
Yeah, I think it's more that the PlayStation controller, in my opinion, has always been the worst controller, with the exception of the Nintendo, not Switch, the Nintendo GameCube controller. That thing was horrendous.
You're not wrong.
The worst controller, I'd say, has been the PlayStation controller, because it's just, it's always been uncomfortable in my hands, especially if you have big hands, and I do. I've always been privy to the Duke controller from the original Xbox. I loved that controller. It fit in my hand perfectly. You know, and Xbox has always had good controllers. Nintendo's been hit or miss. Sega, even their Dreamcast controller was so comfortable, and it was lightweight. It kind of felt cheap, but it was a comfortable controller. But Sony's just never really gone that route to make a notable conscious decision on what they're going to do with their controller. PlayStation 4, I would say, is their first time doing that, and they started going in the right direction, but instead of saying, okay, this didn't work, let's change it up, they were just like, well, let's just keep it the same, but make it fatter and a little more round.
Yeah, and take five steps backwards.
Yeah, essentially.
And give it the worst design on earth.
But if you know, you take a look at the controller, if that's any indication of what the system's going to look like, I mean, you figure the system's probably going to be a white/black two-tone console now. If not, I can't imagine they're going to have a fully black console with a primarily white controller. So you got to figure they're going in a different direction with their console for the first time since the PlayStation 2, because every PlayStation since, you know, PS2, PS3, PS4, they've all been black. They've all had a similar design to them.
Yeah, they've all boxy.
Yeah, boxy or you know, like I always thought it was funny because the PlayStation 2 was very boxy. The PlayStation 3, the original design of that was very rounded, but it looked like somebody just put a bicycle pump into the PS2 and just kind of pumped it up a few times, and that's what happened.
You're not wrong.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go with the PS5. I think it's going to be within the next few weeks here that they're going to have some kind of special online reveal of the console. And I know that Microsoft is planning on doing the same thing in the coming weeks since E3 has been canceled this year. So it'll definitely be interesting what happens with this future, the near future with console gaming. I mean, I know there's probably a lot of people here who are like, meh, PC Master Race. But honestly, you know, we're all in the same team here. We're all rooting for video games, and we all want the best video games to come out. And we got to band together and make sure that games like Fortnite just die and stuff like that.
Please. Battle Royales need to die. You know,
my son the other day, we're playing, and I got like 2 or 3 kills, and then I went and revived him. And he goes, Daddy, I'm really proud of you, Daddy. You did a good job. I'm like, listen here, you little runt. I was like, I've been playing action shooting games since before you're even a thought in my mind. Like, get out of here with this.
Meet me in Combat Evolved. Let's go.
So, like I said at the beginning of this, I know that there's some stuff that you wanted to talk about when it comes to Grand Theft Auto. I know that's probably one of your favorite game series to ever come out, as it is for me. I love that series, and Rockstar has done an amazing job with their games. They take so much time, and they put so much effort into these games. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 right now is still just huge. I mean, it's still being updated on a regular basis. There's millions of people playing it still to this day, and it's, what, a 7-year-old game? 6-7-year-old game now?
Yeah, it came out when I was still in high school.
I mean, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And then you have Red Dead Redemption 2, which came out a couple years ago, and they're still pumping out updates for that, and it's still a fun game to sit down and play, you know, everything like that. So we don't know what their next game is going to be. They haven't officially announced it. You know, there's rumor that it's going to be Bully. There was rumor that it was going to be some medieval game. Let's see. There was Mafia? Was Mafia theirs? What was theirs?
I think Mafia was theirs. Mafia 3 was kind of bad.
Was it Mafia? I don't know if it was Mafia.
It was Mafia.
I don't know. I have a computer right here. I should probably just look it.
I was going to say Google to the rescue.
But honestly, you know, it's L.A. Noire. That's what I'm thinking of, not Mafia.
That was a revolutionary game.
I mean, you know, taking a look at what they have, they can do Grand Theft Auto, Bully, L.A. Noire. What else do they have? Max Payne.
They can bring back Manhunt and get it banned and bring it in 5 different countries again.
I mean, they have options that they could be working on. Agent, you know, we don't know what they're doing right now. And I think a lot of people hope, because it's been 6-7 years since the last Grand Theft Auto, that it's going to be Grand Theft Auto. So what is your take? What do you think, you know, if you were to sit down, Colton, and say, hey, Rockstar, this is what you should do with the next Grand Theft Auto, what would you say?
I'd say, well, refer to the episode that is this podcast right here, and you'll hear all of my details. That would be the opening pitch right there. But let's see. I gathered from all the HD and the 3D series, so that doesn't take like GTA 1 to London 1961, 1969, or 68, Advanced, Chinatown Wars. I don't count any of those because they're not real GTA games. I'm kidding. But since we live in the modern day of, like, you know, everything's open world, as graphic as humanly possible, I figured 3D and HD were the easiest ones to port. So I start off with GTA 3 / Liberty City Stories, because they're basically the same game, just different stories. Because Liberty City Stories takes place 3 years before GTA 3 takes place. So from there, I would take the tank mechanics, because that game has the best tank in all of the GTA series. Fight me, I don't care. And it had a very serious tone, because it dealt with the Italian mafia. So I like the fact that it was really serious. It took itself serious. Granted, the graphical limitations, it really couldn't do anything outside of getting in a car. Like, there's no bikes in GTA 3. There's nothing like that. So those are the two things I would have took from GTA 3 / Liberty City Stories. Next is Vice City and Vice City Stories. I would have took the story from it, because that story is amazing from Vice City. And anybody that knows me knows that Vice City is my favorite Grand Theft Auto. I love the 80s. I love the Miami feel. Please, I was born in the wrong era. And then, I, like I said, the overall feel of the 80s would be amazing to go back to, because that's back when, like, cocaine pretty much ran the world and no one really understood anything, because they were all high on cocaine. And it had really good music. Then we jump to GTA 4, because I skipped San Andreas. It's the next one anyway. GTA 4, I want the realism from that game, because I'm going back and 100%ing that one. And driving a car, if you hit the brakes, every other Grand Theft Auto, the car stops instantly. You hit the brakes, you slide for like 300 feet for no reason. And the graphics, the cars look beautiful. The people look better, in my opinion, than GTA 5. I mean, it could do some updating, because, you know, that's 2008 or 9.
Which one are we talking about? 4?
Yeah. There's something around there.
Why is it not showing me? What the heck? Yeah, somewhere around there. We'll go with that, because Liberty City was 2009, so 2010 maybe?
2010.
There it is. No, 2008.
Woohoo! Because Liberty City Stories was a port. Anyway, and I would bring in something that no other Grand Theft Auto has done, and I still don't understand why Rockstar doesn't do this, but story-driven DLCs. We get a big, good story, and then nothing. And then we just keep playing multiplayer for months and years. Just give me a story DLC, please. I'm hoping that Red Dead Redemption 2 does that and just releases all of Red Dead 1 inside the game, because you could pretty much do that right now. Anyway, so then I would pull from San Andreas the RPG elements. So, like, you have to eat or your character's stamina goes down. You know, you could go to a gym and get super buff, or you can continue to eat and get humongously fat.
I remember that. That's all I like to do. In San Andreas, I just like running around and just eating a bunch of hot dogs, getting fat.
Yeah, and then, you know, then it affects your other stats. And then you had the character customization, which was cool. I still like that one more than I like GTA 5 for some reason.
You talk about 5. 5's customization. You have so many options on 5.
I know. Just, I don't know. 5 is not a very good GTA, in my opinion. That's a different story for a different day. But then you have, like, you know, the customizable cars and stuff like that, which is in GTA 5. And then, you know, your sex appeal, if you want a girlfriend or, you know, a full gimp suit, all that fun stuff. And then also gang territories, because, you know, San Andreas takes place, you're essentially Grove Street trying to retake the gang territory again. And I thought that was interesting because it's towards like the tail end of the game. And it makes sense because I don't want to spoil it, even though the game is 17 years old. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. And then finally, GTA 5, I would take that map size because that map is massive. Actually, I would honestly prefer to put all the maps together and have some sort of like ferry system or planes or whatever. I don't know. You can make it work with Grand Theft Auto. The weapon selection, because there's so many weapons in that game. And you can, it's not like the previous ones where you would buy one and it would replace the one that you have. So if you have like an AK and you want an M4, it'll replace the AK. This one, you can have an AK and an M4, plus like trillions of customization options. Like stocks, colors, different stuff like that. I think that's cool. The vehicle selection, because there's so many vehicles in that game now. That's not even funny. Excuse me. And I think having, which GTA 4 did this, random encounters with different people makes the world more immersive. Kind of like Red Dead 2 did, where you can just, everybody talks to you, and you can hold some sort of character interaction with everybody. And then, you know, I'm going to pull one. This isn't from GTA, but it's from Red Dead. Horses. Bring horses to Grand Theft Auto. Why not? It would be fun.
I mean, think about it. That'd be kind of cool. You know, isn't there a racetrack in Grand Theft Auto 5? A horse racetrack? Just have horses there that you can go steal.
That you're just running from the cops.
Have police riding on horses occasionally, stuff like that. That'd be really cool. Have those buggies that go around that are all romantic and stuff. Have, you know, horses and carriages like that going around the city, and then you could steal those. That'd be kind of cool. I'd be down for that. Why not? I mean, they got the mechanics pretty damn good in Red Dead Redemption 2, so why not?
Exactly. It's just port it and make it look pretty. That's all you have to do. Which I'm surprised they haven't done with GTA 5. They're too busy making flying cars, though, so, you know, making the game wildly unrealistic.
Yeah, they kind of got out of hand a bit with that in Grand Theft Auto 5, but I think it's just trying to keep people invested, and people are invested in that game. It's absurd how many people still play. Now, where would you set the game? I know you're a big fan of the 80s, but would you set it? Would you put it modern day? Would you put it back? Like, where would you set this?
I would set it New York, which would be Liberty. But like I said, travel between, you know, like Liberty City is, we'll say Brooklyn or, you know, New York City area. And then further south you go, or west or east or whatever, is San Andreas, and that's New Jersey. And, you know, different stuff like that. But I would say 2008 stock market depression, and you're like either, you know, what they did with like an immigrant coming over, or you're just like a stockbroker that just completely lost everything and you just turn to crime to make your money back.
Could be interesting. Definitely be interesting. I'd like to see them take the business man side of things. You know, I don't think we've actually seen that in a Grand Theft Auto, at least the modern day Grand Theft Autos. It's always been, you know, some sort of gangster or immigrant or something that who doesn't have money, you know. And it'd be kind of cool to see a businessman, you know, where, you know, they lose everything, so they turn to crime. And the whole idea or point of the game is to become one of the biggest gangsters in the city, you know, going from a businessman to becoming like the biggest gangster in the city. That'd be kind of cool to do from the story point wise.
Yeah. And then, you know, you could tie in all these other characters like they did in San Andreas, for example, where they had Claude from GTA 3. They had a reference to Tommy Vercetti and all this other stuff. So you can always reference other people that didn't die yet.
No, absolutely. Absolutely you can. And when does Grand Theft Auto 5 take place? Do you know offhand?
I think 2013. I think it's modern day when it came out. I think it's 2012, 2013.
So you could even have some of those characters pop up.
Yeah, even as like, you know, because Michael and Trevor were bank heist, like bank thieves before they, you know, had to go different ways. So you could easily see one of them like, hey, I need help breaking into this casino or this, you know, multi-million dollar bank. And then you can even play the stock market where you do something huge and it crashes the stock market even more. You could, you know, kind of like what they attempted to do in GTA 5 with their stock market.
Exactly, because, I mean, they've already implemented the stock market in the fifth game, so why not bring it in, you know, to the next one?
But, yeah, I've had ideas. I think it's going to be fun. I think it'd be fun.
It would be kind of cool to see what they can do or if they took some of those ideas or if they do take some of those ideas. Again, we have no idea what their plan is. You know, what is their next game? I mean, honestly, they've – Bully was 2006, and people have been clamoring for a sequel to that since then. L.A. Noire was 2011. People want a sequel to that.
That one would be really hard to make a sequel for. That would take so much time because that game had full facial recognition, so you could tell if people were lying by certain like things they did with their face.
Well, they've had – well, not 7 years. So, I mean, they probably have multiple teams working on multiple games there, obviously. So, you know, they probably have a team that's been working on their next game for a number of years now. Yeah. So I know that E3 – there was rumor at E3 this year they were supposed to announce something, their next game. But who knows? I mean, at this point
– Now we're just looking for Facebook Lives.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what every company is resorting to now. Not that it's a bad thing, but
no, it's just tough. I mean, this summer is going to be really tough when it comes to, you know, conventions as a whole, not just in the video game world, but comic and everything like that. It's just going to be really tough to get all this information out. And it's going to be interesting to see what people do and what companies do, because E3 is such a big event when it comes to the video gaming world. You already had Sony, who wasn't going to be there. Microsoft had to pull out. Nintendo's, you know, well, everybody pulled out because it's canceled. So what are they going to do with all these, you know, these ideas and things that they want to unveil to everybody? You know, with Microsoft and Sony putting on their own shows over the internet in the next few weeks, are you going to see some of these publishing companies do the same thing and developers do the same thing? That's what will be interesting to see what happens and how they handle it, because they could, if they all got together and said, you know what, the week that was supposed to be E3, let's just still put on our shows, just, you know,
yes, people scatter it throughout the week.
Yeah, throughout the week, exactly. And they could do even more than what they were planning on doing at the actual show. You know, they can have more people, because everybody can just patch in as a guest over, you know, Skype or Zoom or whatever they want, whatever system they want to use. They can interview people, that people can come in and talk about it. So it's really interesting. I hope that somebody is smart enough to put that plan together. I mean, us at the Spoilerverse, if we had the manpower, I'd say let's us do it, but not really possible yet.
Quite literally doesn't sleep for 2 weeks.
It'd be like 3 months. But honestly, I mean, what else you got? Anything else when it comes to video games? You know, I want people to make sure that they go to spoilerverse.com to check out your stuff when it comes to video games, when it comes to anything that you do on there. I mean, you and I have been friends now for a few years. We podcasted regularly on Bridging the Geekdoms for 2 years. I know you. I know the thoughts you have. You're an intelligent person. You know what you're talking about when it comes to video games. I just want everybody else to know that. I want everybody else to say, you know what? I want to know something about a video game. They jump over to Spoilerverse, so they reach out to you on social media to say, hey, what are your thoughts on this? So what else do you got, buddy?
Well, I have a whole bunch of stuff that's about to come out whenever I'm done typing it for the website. It's a whole bunch of like press releases and stuff. Been flirting around with a couple reviews that I need to do, specifically mostly GTA. But I don't know. Keep an eye out on the website. I probably have some stuff coming out or coming up or in the works or something of those sorts.
Yeah, make sure. Spoilerverse.com. We got a whole bunch. I mean, we are diving more into the video game side of things, and Colton's this appears to be taking the lead on that there, if I'm not mistaken, you know, when it comes to video games. So pay attention for his stuff and what you're going to find there. Honestly, our boys, the masterminds of the Spoilerverse, John and Kenrick, thank you for having us on the show this week yet again. It's a pleasure working with you guys and being able to contribute to Spoiler Country. It's amazing. Make sure you check out my show, Shooting the Sith. I got a couple episodes coming up, coming out over the next few weeks. We, and actually Colton here and I, a couple years ago did a live, not a live, but a commentary of The Force Awakens. And I'm going to be releasing that here within the next week. And then there's going to be a couple other shows that are coming up. I'm hopefully going to get him to sit down with me. I mean, because we all have to be isolated and away from each other, we'll do it through Skype like we're doing now. But we're probably going to try and do some more commentaries on the Star Wars films for the Shooting the Sith podcast. You can find so much more at spoilerverse.com. So please check it out. Make sure you find us on Facebook. Look up the Spoilerverse. There's a group there. You can join in. You can join the discussion. You can get in there, and it's a good time. You know, we're really trying to build this whole network up as much as we can, and we got some really cool interviews coming up on Spoiler Country, so make sure you keep an eye out for those. Yeah, I don't really have anything else. I don't know if you do, Colton.
No, just keep an eye out. We got things and stuff doings.
Yeah, and you know, we'll definitely make sure we jump on and talk video games again in the near future with our boy here, Colton.
Your boy.
All right, take it easy, everyone.
Bye.
So, Kinnerick, what do you think? Are you excited to play Colton's GTA?
Oh, I'm super
GTA
excited. Super excited. Super, super. No, actually, it sounds pretty cool. You know, yeah. I was a big console gamer back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember when PlayStation first came out, I was running a Hollywood video. We rented them. It was a $200 deposit, and then, like...
Yep.
$12 or $10 for 3 days or something like that. I don't remember. It was a $200 deposit, though. I do remember that because people are always like, oh, why so much? Because like, it was like $200 to go buy one. And if you just take it for 10 bucks, you ain't coming back.
But if you're going to deposit $200, why not just buy one? That's all right.
Well, yeah, but you get your money back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but how do you rent it out for a fair price, ensuring that someone's going to bring it back?
Well, that's a good point, but also, but back in the 80s when they were renting movies out and a VHS copy cost $100, they weren't renting them, they weren't taking deposits for those, you know?
No, but you had an account, and the same thing would happen with this. You would have an account, and then if you didn't bring that movie back, that's why your late fees would go up, and then people get freaked out about late fees. This is kind of a weird diatribe that we're getting into. This is a weird tangent that we're getting into, but the reason that you have, like, the reason, like people like Blockbuster would be a stickler. Because say you rented True Lies, and that was $70 to buy that cassette when it first came out.
Okay? Right.
And you walked into Blockbuster or Hollywood, there was a wall of True Lies. And and it was three deep. So you'd have the cover box, and then you would probably have three movies behind that one cover box. And then you'd have a whole wall. And if it's 10 across, three deep, 30 times seven shelves or six shelves, that's like 180 cassettes at $70 a piece for one store. And then they're renting that out. But if you, so you think about the money that they put out to get that. But if you take one cassette and then you keep it for 2 weeks and you don't bring it back, and then you wonder why you have a $3 a day, 2 weeks, three times 14 is $42 late fee. Why do you have a $42 late fee? You guys have them for sale there now for $20. Yeah, because that cassette went out a bunch of times and made the money back of its original 70, and now it's gone out a few more times and made a profit, and now we can sell it as a used thing. But you kept it when it first came out, and they've literally made nothing off of it. Yep. So that's why if you've lost the cassette, it's going to cost you $70. You know?
Yeah, and it makes sense when you think about it. Just nobody likes them.
Yeah, right. Well, Hollywood Video was really cool. The reason that we conveniently... Anytime that you had a Hollywood Video next door to a Blockbuster, we kicked the shit out of them. And the reason is because when you walked in, and Robert, who you just listened to, can tell you this because he worked for Hollywood as well. When you walked into Hollywood Video, if you had a late fee, you could just pay like a minimal amount on it and still rent.
Right. Where
Blockbuster was like, no, you got to pay your rent late fee in full before you can rent again. But we're like, no, it's all good. First one's free, baby.
Dude, come on. You know, We're on this tangent, and I'm gonna keep us on it for a second here, okay?
Yeah.
I miss going to the video store. Like,
me too.
A lot. I mean, I know you can browse, but it's not the same. I used to go to Total Video in Silverdale every Tuesday because on Tuesdays it was like...
Traitor.
89 cents. Well, if Hollywood Video would have done this, I would have gone there. But they did 89 cents to rent any non-new release for 7 days, and you could rent up to six of them. So for every Tuesday for $6, I could go rent six movies.
Yeah.
For the week on any non, and this is how I discovered Akira Kurosawa film. This is how I discovered a lot of just oddball, weird horror films. Just going there and just picking out six random movies and renting them out for the week. And I miss that, going in there and just looking at the box art or running around and finding a movie. It just,
so when I first started working at Hollywood Video, it was 1994. Nirvana was huge. I think Kurt Cobain was, it's either right before he committed suicide or right after he committed suicide. It was right in that time frame. But I trained at the Capitol Hill store in Seattle, Washington. And if you know your grunge history, a lot of stuff came out of Capitol Hill because Sub Pop Records was right there. And I had a buddy that worked there when Bleach came out. So this is, you know, they're big locally. Like everybody, you know, all the kids knew who Nirvana was locally. This is right before Nevermind, which, like, you know, then the nation knew who they were. But Cobain used to come into the Hollywood Video in Capitol Hill, and it just kind of goes to what you're saying right now. He'd just sit in the aisleways and just read cover boxes of all the different movies, you know? And I miss that too. I absolutely miss that. I think there's some moving with technology that we're leaving some really good stuff behind. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, if they open a video store, I'd go to it right now, because I probably wouldn't. I know that. But
you'd be like, why? I can go on Netflix.
Exactly. I understand the irony of what I'm saying out loud here. I probably would do it sometime, but I wouldn't do it like I did it back then, because the option wasn't there. But the option there for Netflix or streaming is there now, which is great. But just, you know, I feel like I don't discover as much random stuff as I did back then. I mean, I still do discover new stuff. It's just different.
And it almost takes somebody telling you about something now, though, more than going through and seeing it. Hey, you know what, man? I was living in Bothell a couple years ago, and there's literally a mom and pop video store not even a mile from my house. Never went in.
Nice. Yeah.
So, I miss it, but at the same time, you know, it's like the convenience wins out almost every time.
Exactly. So nobody out there think that I'm saying someone should go open up a video store chain, because you'll fail horribly at that.
Maybe and not, I don't, though. You never know. Maybe not. If someone opens up, like, what are you going to watch it on? What are you going to do?
Yeah. That's a good point. I don't have a DVD player.
Yeah, like, I don't have a DVD player.
The only DVD or Blu-ray player I have is my Xbox.
I don't even have one of those. None of my computers have DVD players or CD players or anything.
I have one computer in the garage that has a Blu-ray player on it. That's it.
What if you had it where you could take your USB stick in, plug it in, hit rent, and then it has like a coding thing that allows you to play it like two or three times?
That'd be cool.
And then you can go
off. But then you get into the world of like the old DivX discs they had like Office Depot or Circuit City.
Yeah, it's late 90s.
It was like, oh, you can only watch them like three or four times, but people forget how to break them and copy them off their hard drive.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. You're into that. You could go buy it on DivX for $4, watch it four times, and it won't play anymore unless you knew how to break it.
You guys just listened to two completely different shows.
A one show about video games and then a micro show about renting movies.
There you go. We hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, there's more stuff coming out from Robert and Colton, and you'll probably hear them from time to time on this show right here.
Yep.
But they have their own. Robert has his own show called Shootin' Sith, and Colton's on there quite a bit, correct?
Colton's been on a lot of episodes recently, and if you want to hear more of them on Spoilerverse.com, you can catch the entire back catalog of their old show, Bridging the Geekdom. And I heard a rumor from Robert that they're thinking about doing some more in that show.
There you
because go. They have the time and love for it now.
Hey-o.
So that might be happening soon.
There you guys go. Well, thanks for joining in. I hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, like Johnny just said, Spoilerverse.com, that's where you want to go, and you can see a lot of back catalog of all of our shows. There's some tremendous interviews back there that you'll be shocked to see, and just a lot of fun content, you know, from the Sarah Kay Files that investigates the paranormal or the strange, to the daily life of one Jay Roach.
Yeah, and since this is a Sunday episode, I feel like we should give a little hint about something coming up this week.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, so this is, you hear this on the Sunday, April 12th. Yeah.
Hold on, let me take my shirt off.
Yeah, get comfortable, man. Okay. Get comfortable. Sit down, get a drink. It's good.
Let me get my blanket. Let me bundle up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get some hot chocolate. Yeah. So this week,
go slow.
All right. This week, you're going to hear us talk to John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah. The Flash.
The original Flash from the 90s and Flash 90 on the Arrowverse. We talked to him. Actually, we talked to him as the day of this recording, but.
Yeah,
you'll hear us talk to him in 2 days on the 14th, which is going to be exciting.
Super exciting. I'm a lost words. We had so much fun with him, and he is such a nice guy, and he's so warm, inviting, and affable, and all the cool words that you can use to describe somebody that you just love.
Yep.
So there you go.
And we have also so many more exciting people coming this week, but I'm going to make you go and watch our weekly hype video to find out all those people.
We started that last week. I hope you guys enjoyed those. If you saw it on Facebook, and we're going to be trying to doing that all the time, where we're giving you an update of all the stuff that's coming out.
Yeah. So go to Facebook, go to Twitter, and watch our hype video and find out everybody who's coming on the show this week.
Here you guys go. All right. Like, you know, in the oceans of podcast, we are Cthulhu. And as Cthulhu wants you to do, open that mind
and read more.